Everybody would take their seats. We'll get the meeting going. Looks like we have a quorum. So we'll call the meeting to order and we'll start out with a roll call.
Cornish.
Here.
Woodard.
Here.
Mullery. Gauthier.
Here.
Grinhagen.
Here.
Hilty.
Here.
Johnson. Kelly. Kiefer.
Here.
Kreisel.
Here.
Leidiger.
Here.
Mariani. McDonald. Moran.
Here.
Nornis.
Here.
Slocum.
Here.
Okay, would one of the members like to move the previous minutes?
So moved.
Who said that? There he is. We, not hearing any additions or corrections, is there a second to that? Do we need a second on a motion? I don't think we do on minutes, so. No, all right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, minutes approved. Okay, members, today we have our first bill in front of us, Representative Kreisel. And Representative Kreisel, I'll let you approach the testimony in however you want. First of all, would you like to move your bill?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move my bill.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 57 to pass and be re-referred to the Judiciary Policy and Finance Committee.
Okay, so moved. We have the bill in front of us, and Representative Kreisel, go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, a new phenomenon has swept across the nation and our great state. Synthetic marijuana, also known as K2 or spice, is a mixture of common herbs sprayed with synthetic chemicals that mimic the effects of marijuana. It is currently being sold in head shops and stores as incense or potpourri, but is being used as an inhalant for people to get high. Besides the health risks to individuals using this product, there's an increasing risk to the general public as well. Because synthetic marijuana is not a controlled substance, it is difficult or impossible for users to be prosecuted for driving under the influence. This product is becoming increasingly popular with teenagers because there's no minimum age requirement to purchase the product, and there are hundreds of videos on YouTube demonstrating to teenagers how to use this product to get high. Because of the overall danger, 11 states have outlawed the possession and distribution of this product. House File 57 will make it a gross misdemeanor to unlawfully sell any synthetic cannabinoid and a misdemeanor for possession of the same. This bill will undoubtedly make our community safer. Mr. Chair, I'd like to turn the podium over to my guests to provide their testimony.
Sounds good. Well, the first one to approach the table and
Representative Sarah Mack. Mr. Okay. Chair is going to be first.
Representative Mack, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll be brief, as I know we have a series of testifiers who have expertise in this area. But I just wanted to move forward. This is an issue that came to my attention last spring when I was contacted by various folks in my community, particularly one who is here, Officer Mike Eliason, along with families who have been directly impacted by the effects of this drug. And members, it's disturbing to hear what individuals and families go through when there's involvement with this drug. And I wanted to speak directly on behalf of one family in my community that I have been in touch with regularly, whose young son, who was 16 years old, was taking this particular drug for about 9 months, unbeknownst to the parents. But they were observing very dangerous and scary behavior in their son, didn't know what was wrong, what he was into, knew something was going on. Finally, after a period of time, found out that this is what he was involved in, had gotten it from some friends, was told it was some sort of a potpourri, wasn't real dangerous, but ended up having seizures, some severe medical effects because of this. And it's very disturbing, and the road to recovery that they've gone on in trying to get him back on track. Obviously, his studies suffered, as is the case with any type of drug use in teenagers. And it's been very devastating. He went through depression. Some of his skills in school and his ability to cope and process were diminished. And members, it's very scary how easy it is to have access. There's several tobacco stores, or maybe not several, but I know of a couple tobacco stores right in Apple Valley that this is very easily to just walk in and pick up, and it's sold with very little warning as to what all the consequences could be. And so, members, I urge your support of this bill. I'm grateful to Representative Kriesel for taking this initiative and moving forward with it, and have enjoyed working with him on this, and look forward to the rest of testimony today. So thank you, members.
Thank you, Representative Mack. Good morning, sir. Would you state your name and title?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dr. Cody Weiberg. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Board of Pharmacy. And I just want to say first that I apologize to the committee. I may need to leave before all the testimony is done. I live in Red Wing, and as fate would have it, the local Kiwanis Club is meeting at noon today, and they want me to give them a talk about this very issue. And I'm actually kind of proud, not so much as the director of the board, but as a citizen of Goodyear County, to let you know that there's a lot of concern there from law enforcement officials and the public health officials in Goodyear about this issue. I rarely testify before this committee, and members old and new may wonder why the head of the agency that normally licenses pharmacies and pharmacists and controls the distribution of legal drugs in the state is involved in this issue. That's because when the legislature first passed Minnesota's Controlled Substance Act, probably in the 70s, it empowered the Board of Pharmacy to make additions or deletions or to switch things around in the state controlled substance schedules, and we can do that through the rulemaking process. With street drugs like this, we normally find out about them from individuals in law enforcement who you'll hear testifying today. In this case, the board first heard about this in late June from a reporter in Fargo who called to let us know that the North Dakota Board of Pharmacy had, by it through their rulemaking process, placed us into Schedule 1, which would make the use of these products illegal in that state. The reporter from Fargo wanted to know what we could do because people from Fargo were simply crossing the river to Moorhead and buying it at the music shops and head shops there. I spent a few days doing the research. It quickly came to the conclusion that these are very dangerous substances. The people who sell these products and make them sometimes like to characterize them as marijuana light. I can assure you they are not. They are synthetic designer drugs. I talked to the police chief in Salinas, Kansas, where one of the factories is located. It's a very dirty place, he tells me. They synthesize these chemicals crudely. They mix the result of product in acetone and other solvents. They spray it on God knows what sort of plant material, let the acetone evaporate, and then they sell it in little packets that they mark not for human consumption, but it's sort of with the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We know you're going to go ahead and use it. And people do buy these packets. They do smoke it. The synthetic cannabinoids, some of them were designed by researchers to be used to study the effects on cannabinoid receptors in lab rats. There's been very few studies in humans. What we do know, however, is just between January of 2010 and November of 2010, the poison control centers around this country received over 2,500 calls about these products. And these products do things that you don't expect marijuana to do. They cause seizures. They cause severe agitation. They cause severe frightening delusions. There's been at least one report of someone who committed suicide in Iowa after having hallucinations and delusions. They cause changes in the heart. There was a young gentleman, 14 years old, in Hastings, who was admitted with a coma, and he had severely low potassium levels. I've been in contact with a mother up in Representative Abler's district, and in fact was at a town meeting with him this fall. Her son has ended up in the emergency room twice in a coma after using these products. It's a very dangerous drug. So what the board did is in July, it gave me the authority to engage in the rulemaking process. We started that process, which is a rather slow process. Around December 1st, we publish a notice of intent to adopt rules. That triggers a 30-day comment period during which people can not only comment, but they can request a rules hearing. We had over 100 requests for rules hearing. If we have just 25, we have to have a rules hearing. It was clear to me that this was an organized attempt. All of the language in all of the benefit requests was identical, right down to the misspelling of my last name. And because of that, the board withdrew the rules, because a rules hearing would have added months to the process, and we figured the legislature could act more quickly. The last thing I just want to say is the language that defines synthetic cannabinoids is what I drafted for the rulemaking process, and what I want you to know is other states that have tried to do this have made the mistake, unfortunately, of just listing maybe six or seven specific substances. The people that sell and make this have publicly stated that to get around that, they'll just change the molecule a little bit so it's something not listed in statute. So I wrote this language so that it's fairly broad. It should stop that sort of behavior substantially. But I was concerned that it might be unconstitutionally broad. So I presented the language to the Attorney General's office. It was reviewed by a Deputy Attorney General in the Criminal Division, who assured me that this was not unconstitutionally broad. And with that, I will take any questions that the committee members might have.
Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Weiberg, seems like you've looked into a lot of this and the effects, so maybe you're a good one to ask this question. I noticed in the sheriff's letter here, it said this may not show up in drug tests or probation violation tests or screening exams, and I was wondering, does this, two different questions, I'll give them at once. One is, that does it not show up at all in any urine or blood tests? And second, does it not show up at all, you know, the eye test that they use for a kind of a screen on that, does it not affect the eyes in any way either? Or could you just explain that a little bit?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mullery.
Mr. Weber.
The second question I am not quite sure about. The law enforcement officers here may have actually more experience with that. The first question is, that at this point there are not many, if any, tests that can detect this. However, those tests are being developed, and they are being worked on at this point.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Weiberg. Anybody, Representative McDonald?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for you. In the cases of coma, seizures, and the like, is marijuana also an indicator of that? Are those symptoms caused by smoking marijuana as well?
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, typically no. The problem, of course, with marijuana, as with many street drugs, is you never know what you get when you buy it. And so sometimes marijuana is laced with things like PCP and other chemicals. If somebody gets a bad batch of marijuana that's laced with something like that, yes, you could potentially have even more severe adverse effects. But typically, with normal marijuana use, if there's nothing that it's cut with, you don't expect seizures and you don't expect the low potassium levels that affect the heart.
Representative McDonald?
Mr. Chairman, and then just to follow up, I hope this is not a dumb question. Maybe I should know this, but was this approved by the FDA? Because obviously it's sold as a spice, supposedly, but people are doing other things. Is that because that's known? Should have that gone through the FDA, and maybe it did. I did not know. I don't know.
Mr. Weber.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, this has not been approved by the FDA. When the board looks at doing something in rules with controlled substances, there's different things that we have to look at. One of those is whether or not there are any accepted medical uses. There are no accepted medical uses for this. Another is, does it have an abusive potential? It clearly does, because it hits the same receptors in the brain that marijuana does. The other one is, even if there were a medical use, we need to do an evaluation to see if it could be safely used, because some drugs have a medical use, potential medical use, but they can't be safely used, and these cannot be safely used. The other thing, I'm glad you brought this question up, because I should have mentioned that the Drug Enforcement Administration has taken six of these drugs, and using emergency powers they have put this in Schedule I at the federal level. However, there's still a need to do it at the state level. We've dealt with other drugs in the past, one called BZP just a couple of years ago, where the federal prosecutors have a relatively high threshold for prosecuting. And with this other drug a couple of years ago, Rochester police found someone with 1,000 doses of this drug a block away from high school in Rochester, the board had not yet put this in Schedule 1. They couldn't prosecute under state law, and the feds wouldn't because it didn't meet the threshold level. So even though the DEA has acted, there's still a need for a state law.
Representative McDonald?
Mr. Chairman, then just a last question for me. Cody, I didn't catch your last name.
Weiberg.
So my apologies. Weiberg. So this really is not made for incense.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, Weiberg. As I sort of alluded to before, it's sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Okay. The people that make this package it, they call it an herbal incense. They put a sticker on it that says not for human consumption. But everyone knows about it. As Representative Kreisel mentioned, you can go on YouTube and find videos telling people how to use it. So it's one of these things where the people who make this, they know what they're doing. They know that they're making something that's a drug. They're not selling it that way. If they did try to sell it, they would, in fact, violate FDA rules and regulations, which require for drugs to be approved. But they're not. They're mischaracterizing it as an incense when, in fact, they know full well what it's being sold for. What it's being used for.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Director Weiberg. And as a follow-up to Representative McDonald's questioning, do you know where these are being made and how difficult it is to make them? Are they being made like methamphetamine in basements, or are they being made by reputable companies who are just trying to get around the law?
Mr. Chair, Representative, they are... I wouldn't characterize them as being reputable companies. You know, it's not like some of the true pharmaceutical manufacturers like Johnson & Johnson or something like that are making these products. These have sprung up. The one shop that I know of for sure down in Sinz, Kansas, because I've talked to the police chief there, he's told me that this is in some dilapidated warehouse. They have no quality control in there. It's not like meth labs where it's being... made everywhere. It's not quite that easy to make, but it's certainly not being made by reputable companies with any sort of quality control standards.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I've never had to pronounce your, is it Moran?
It's Moran.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Weiberg. This is pretty serious. But it's been sold legally. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, have you ever, and I missed what language or what you had tried to move before, but have you ever tried to just have this substance banned from the state? Is that something that, because people are buying it because it's legal?
Mr. Chair, Representative Moran, yes, the board does have the power to engage in the rulemaking process to place chemicals and drugs into the controlled substance schedules, and we did try to put it in Schedule 1. That's the extent of what the board can do. Had we put it in Schedule 1, it would have been illegal to use or possess the drug. In fact, it would have actually, ironically, kind of went a little bit beyond this in that it would have been a felony, although the board is okay with this because we understand the fiscal situation that the legislature has to deal with. But we did try to put this into Schedule 1. The only reason that we didn't do that is because these requests for a rulemaking hearing would have delayed the process into at least April of this year, and we thought the legislature could actually act more quickly than we could.
Oh, Representative Moran, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my question is, Representative Kreischer?
Kreischer.
Is... It's legal. It's legal right now. And I see in a lot of ways we are positioning our young people who are buying the substance. You know, we need to educate them. Some other things we definitely need to do. So as a body here, can we move to ban the substance? And I don't know if that would make it a felony if we decide to ban it from being sold, because it's readily accessible right now to individuals to purchase. So is there another avenue that we can also take?
Mr. Chair, Representative Moran, the reason I decided to go this route with the penalty was that although it is more dangerous than marijuana, it's still basically it hits the same receptor in the brain. It's similar to marijuana, and so I figured, and I assume that it's fair to have that same language and have it the penalties similar. And then it doesn't increase just a crazy burden on the law enforcement. I figured this is a good start. We could always work on amendments. and see what we can fine tune.
Yeah.
Representative Moran?
Thank you, because I really see us penalizing, it's I'm not trying to minimize this, but we're penalizing the young folks who are using it, and but we're not penalizing the ones who are selling the product to our young people. And I think we need to look at the source of...
Mr. Chair?
Representative Griesel, go ahead.
Representative Moran, the penalty is higher for stores that sell, and a gross misdemeanor from everything I've been told from research is that is a stiff enough penalty that they will not sell that product, that they cannot sell that product in the state of Minnesota.
They cannot.
Representative Guthrie?
Thank you, Chair. This is for House Research. The DEA did use their emergency powers, I believe, to make it a Schedule I drug. So, in fact, it is illegal to sell at this point under that?
Mr. Deep, can you address that?
Mr. Chair and members, that's my understanding. Mr. Weiberg can confirm that, but under federal law, that would be on their schedule, and therefore federal penalties would apply.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Representative...
Mr. Weiberg?
Got there. The DEA definitely has taken some action. It's emergency temporary action. They list only 6 chemicals. So this is a much broader bill to get around the problem other states like Kansas and Missouri have had, where they changed the chemical just a little bit, so it's no longer one of those 6 drugs. That's one thing that's different about this. And then, as I mentioned before, so those 6 things, it would be illegal to sell in this state, not some of the other things that get sold in these products. The other thing is that there are internet outlets that you can buy this from that will ship into the state. If someone were found to be in possession of even one of those 6 products, county prosecutors could not prosecute under state law at this point. They would have to rely on federal prosecutors who have sometimes a high threshold. And so you may have someone have quite a substantial amount of this in possession, and the feds would not prosecute, and the county attorneys could not prosecute.
Representative Guthrie?
To the testifier, I noticed language here was trying to make things inclusive. Are you comfortable that we've covered all our bases with this bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Guthrie, I am as comfortable that we have covered as much as we can. There is always going to be the possibility that they could change something to even get around this, but this is much broader than any other state has done at this point.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Guthrie.
This will be the second time I vote on this because we voted to ban it in Duluth, and I plan on supporting this. And I have just some concerns that they're going to find ways, because that's one of the things we were told immediately, that we were sued and we're just going to tweak and up things up and we'll sell it and it'll be more dangerous. I mean, that's what the retailer was saying.
Right.
We'll make it more dangerous. So in your opinion, you're pretty comfortable with this language, that it's broad enough to uphold constitutional muster and keep some of our kids safe.
Mr. Chair, Representative Guthrie, I'm comfortable that this is broad, pretty broad. Okay. Not only did I've did research and found 17 different synthetic cannabinoids that have been synthesized, and I use language that's actually found in Schedule 1 for other classes of drugs like amphetamines. So when it talks about analogs and homologs, that gets at if somebody is going to just change one little part of the molecule. When I talk about isomers, salts, esters, and ethers, those are other chemical modifications that can be made. So it's as broad as I could think to make it. And then I put the language that says including but not limited to. And that was the part that I thought might not pass constitutional muster. And a deputy attorney general at the AG's office reviewed this language and assured me that this would pass constitutional muster.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Mullery.
Thank you. Mr. Weiberg, have you talked to, would these then have to be tested like at the BCA, or how would somebody prosecuting, would you have to get a lab test at the BCA or anything, or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mullery, that also might be a question for law enforcement. I do not know. I know the BCA does testing, and we work with the BCA on other issues. We work with them, you know, banning precursors to methamphetamine and that sort of thing, but we're actually not a law enforcement agency, so I'm not quite sure if there some local law enforcement does their own testing or if they send everything to the BCA. I'm not sure about that.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I think we'll probably get that question answered shortly by either Mr. Baxter or one of the peace officers. Any other questions? If not, are you done, Mr. Weiberg? And Representative Kriesel, you can bring up your next testifier. Thank you, Mr. Weiberg. Mm-hmm. Good morning, sir. If you want to state your name and title, and go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Jim Franklin, Executive Director for the Minnesota Sheriff's Association. Today, on behalf of the Police Chiefs Association, the Sheriff's Association, and also the League of Minnesota Cities, and I have a letter of the page would like to pass out to the members. We are here to support the bill. I want to thank personally Mr. Weiberg. We became aware of this in late June, early July. He's been very instrumental in helping us to understand this emerging technology, if I can use that term. It is a changing technology. There are problems associated, as you've already addressed. And found, and I want to thank him for all the work that the board has done in trying to deal with this issue. Unfortunately, they've withdrawn it, and we've gone the legislative route, which brings us here today. I just wanted to say we are in support of it as associations, as law enforcement in general. We have several testifiers that will give you detailed specifics about this, and we do have concerns about, Representative Mullery, your question about testing. How will we test this? How will we get convictions? We have to work with the prosecution on that and go through the whole court process. And as you know, this is an emerging technological kind of thing that has to be dealt with. So we do have concerns about how all of that's to be played out. And we also share the concerns that were raised earlier about what was mentioned in Duluth. How will they get around this? And unfortunately, for every time we put a stopgap measure in place, we find someone in society or business that develops a new mousetrap to get around it. So we are concerned about those things. As you know, we're just trying to deal with what we can at this time and, of course, address those other issues in the future. With that, I'll close my remarks and turn it over to the law enforcement community to give you some very specifics that they deal with in their respective communities.
Thank you, Director Franklin. Good morning, Lieutenant. If you want to give us your name and title, and go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Lieutenant Hans Fitek with the Henham County Sheriff's Office Narcotics Unit. The substance we're talking about here today is not marijuana. What people call synthetic marijuana is really just oregano or other herbal products that are sprayed with dangerous chemicals in countries or factories such as China or South Korea. Those chemicals were discovered by Dr. John W. Huffman, a researcher at Clemson 15 years ago who was studying how marijuana affects the human brain. But this is not marijuana, which usually produces sleepiness, giddiness, or an increased appetite. Instead, synthetic marijuana can cause hallucinations, irregular heartbeats, spiking blood pressure, and even severe anxiety. It has been linked to the suicide of an Iowa teen and to hundreds of hospitalizations and inducing comas. In the first 6 months of 2010, the number of medical reactions to synthetic marijuana reported to poison control centers jumped to 750 incidents. That is up from 13 incidents in 2009. The Drug Enforcement Agency has called these chemicals a version of Russian roulette in a bong for three reasons. First, in their pure state, the chemicals can be 10 times stronger than the tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, that's in marijuana, and you don't know how a body will react to that. Second, you cannot know what chemical is really sprayed on those herbs in the factories in China and South Korea. Quality control and toxic additives in products from China have been an issue in other areas for recent years. Third, there have been absolutely no tests of the immediate or long-term impact of these chemicals on the human body, whether they're pure or not. This product is being sold in your districts, usually at convenience stores or head shops. In October, it was available to a minimum of 15 outlets within 5 miles of the sheriff's office in Minneapolis. It is sold under brand names such as K2 Spice, Crush, Demon, Triple X, Mr. Nice Guy, to name a few. They sell it as incense that is not for human ingestion, but it is frequently explained that it can be smoked or baked into brownies. Because it is sold as incense and labeled not for human consumption, it has avoided federal laws against marijuana-like products. But it is getting attention. It's been outlawed in 17 other countries and 12 other states. Here in Minnesota, it was banned in Duluth in August. The Minnesota drug courts have added it to a list of products which defendants must avoid in order to stay in compliance with drug court programs. The Minnesota Board of Pharmacy has taken steps to introduce it as a Schedule I drug in Minnesota. A St. Paul company, MedTox Scientific, is now offering a test for $60 which can event or identify the use of synthetic marijuana. The federal DEA has begun the process of making synthetic marijuana illegal across the country, but this process is temporary. It can take a long time to get the final process completed, so legislators need to act now. Aside from health concerns that are legitimate and that are legitimate law enforcement concerns, there's also concerns in enforcement with synthetic marijuana. If it continues to remain legal, there's going to be confusion on the street with officers that are out enforcing law. If somebody takes regular marijuana and puts it in a bag for synthetic marijuana, and the synthetic marijuana is legal, it can be easily overlooked and create confusion with prosecution and testing. As long as it is legal, we're going to have some issues, and I think it'll create issues. People are going to see it as a, you know, that what harm can it do? It's legal. And kids are going to try that, and then that could lead to future drug use of other scheduled controlled drugs. It's kind of a gateway, so we need to make that illegal. The debate over regular marijuana and medical marijuana and other topics are not the focus of today. I hope the committee will take action to ban this dangerous, untested product and vote to ban synthetic marijuana today. That'll take
Thank you, Lieutenant. Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lieutenant, it looks like either you or Attorney Backstrom is probably the closest ones that might have answers to my questions. Does this show up in the eye test for drugs? Does it show up in blood or urine? Do you have to run tests in a lab on things like this? I know Hennepin has its own lab. A lot of places around the state use the BCA. Does this require lab, or how does all that fit in?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the Sheriff's Office, we do send all of our drugs to the BCA lab for testing. Our crime lab is more the forensic evidence and DNA, so we do send everything to the lab. As far as the prosecution end of that, I think I would defer to County Attorney Backstrom.
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't getting into the prosecution. Okay. I was trying to figure out, you know, the eye test that you do for screening for drugs. Does it show up on that? Is there blood or urine, or does it show up there?
What? Horizontal gaze nystagmus.
Right.
Yeah. I believe you.
Does this require some lab testing or something? I'm just trying to figure out what all goes on here.
Lieutenant?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I believe it would show up in drug-type testing through blood, urine. As far as physical testing, I think there would be some confusion because officers to this point haven't been trained for these specific chemicals because they're legal at this point. So it does it's a little bit different than regular marijuana and different some of the other drugs. So I don't know if any like roadside field sobriety test has been developed that would stand up in court at this point on this because it is considered legal at this point.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lieutenant, for your testimony.
Thank you.
Representative Kriesel, you have another person. Good morning, Chief. If you could give your name and title and go ahead with your presentation. Looks like you'll have some people sitting in here. You can tell us who they are, too.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for having us. I got my backup here. So the Officer Dan Schoen spent 5 years with the Washington County Narcotics Task Force and the County Attorney Jim Baxter.
No, that's fine.
And your name, sir?
Craig Woolery, Director of Public Safety at City Cottage Grove.
Okay, go ahead with your testimony. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to speak on behalf of law enforcement at a more local level. You know, from what we hear firsthand, the officers hear firsthand are the frustrations of the parents. They all understand there's a recession in the economy and the role of government, and actually one of the role, basic core functions of government is the safety of everybody. We see frustrated parents. I can give you an example of parents who want something done at the legislative level. You give law enforcement some tools to be able to deal with these issues firsthand. I give you a local example. Back last summer on June 21st, we had a double overdose in the city. That was about 7 in the morning. A mother called their 18-year-old son who had been out all night, had been using K2. The person said he'd been using it all night, had mixed it with some marijuana, and attending paramedics who ended up transporting to the hospital, he was hospitalized, had pinpoint pupils, slurred speech, was vomiting all night. At the same time, within an hour, we had a second individual. We got called to a park of a man passed out, a young man passed out on a park bench. That young man also demonstrated the same symptoms, had been vomiting all night, had been using something called Red Dawn. The two were together, I guess, and ended up being separated. One didn't make it home. He lived out of town. He made a comment to one of the officers who was there. He said, Matt explained that he was tripping on K2 and it was better than ecstasy. He said he felt weird but not right, was very sick that night. He bought it from a local smoke shop in Oakdale. It was called Red Dawn. Claimed he had mixed a liquid form with Mountain Dew and drank it. Claimed that he took 8 doses, 8 times the amount of what a single dose would be. After this, we went to a local smoke shop in Cottage Grove, which we found was interesting, and asked them if they would reconsider taking the item off their shelves. If you understand the layout of the shop, they keep this stuff locked up in a cabinet. It's near all the headgear, all the paraphernalia, the bongs, everything else. Incense is kept somewhere else. It's sold as an incense, but as Representative Kriesel said, it's commonly understood through videos how people, young people, communicate that this is a legal way of getting high because marijuana is illegal. The problem with it is that we don't understand it. I think we you've referenced Representative Mullery about the testing. Just like anything, I think proper tests could be developed. There's a drug recognition experts that are law enforcement that are specially trained to recognize impairment. I believe they are looking at this as part of their training. Those have to be standardized. But we really look to the legislature to give us the tools to deal with this and to bring the public safety down to the local level. So that's about what I had to say today, if you had other questions.
Thank you, Chief Woolery. Are there any questions from the members? Okay, Chair recognizes Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Woolery, mixed with alcohol, how does this drug, or this Red Dawn, or whatever you want to call it, sounds like a drug to me, how does it affect or advance the incense or drug?
I'm not a pharmacy or not a physician or a DRE expert. I could assume, I would make an assumption that they would be compounded if Officer Schoen would know anything different than that.
The only thing I can say with that, with any drugs, or Mr. Chair, Representative, is that it can compound the effects, and if you have one safe medicine, or two safe medicines, but you take them together, they certainly could make them unsafe, and I would assume that same thing with alcohol and this particular substance, but obviously Dr. Weiberg is the expert there.
typically the way it's described, it's potentiated. That one have an effect level at this side, but the two together make it much more dangerous. The thing with these packages and these incense, they find creative new ways to use it, whether it's smoked, whether it was in a liquid form, put into something else, if it's shared with other young people. The hard part about it is that it is accessible, it's available, and it's sold. I mean, if it had a practical purpose, if it was an incense, you'd go to Cubs and buy your incense, or a Glade air freshener. It's sold and packaged, and it looks exactly like you would think would be an alternative form of marijuana.
Sir, Representative Johnson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate you, Representative Kreisel, bringing this this bill forward. Looks like there's a problem based on testimony here that needs to be addressed. One concern I have, Mr. Chair, as we look at establishing new crimes, however, is to make sure that we have some analysis or some information on the impact to both the judiciary and local governments, so we can see the fiscal impact on that, because we know the judiciary is under tremendous strain, and same with the local governments and county jails and the like. So any information I could provide in that regard would certainly be appreciated.
Mr. Carvey, want to address that?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members and Representative Johnson, we did request a fiscal note on this bill, and it is incomplete. The only one that has completed is sentencing guidelines, and they said, of course, there'll be no impact to the correctional, you know, Minnesota prisons, mm-hmm. because it's not a felony, right. But there could be some local impact. So.
Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Carger, this, I think, judging from the testimony, from what I've heard, I think this needs to be done, but I think there's going to be a cost to the courts also. So we have to look at that, and apparently what I'm hearing is that even, I didn't realize Hennepin sent all their stuff to the BCA, but there's going to be a lot of BCA, and I just, yep. I think that it's good, a brand new chair, so you can't be accused of it. In the past, chairs of both sides of the aisle, both parties have been kind of unbased discrimination between different bills as to how they're treated with respect to this, and I just think with a new chair it'd be good to kind of establish a system of maybe doing it for all or not for any, just so that we treat all bills the same. So we should get the, if we're going to do local costs, we should find that out. If we're going to do all state costs, we should find that out.
Mr. Carter?
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, and I should point out that the courts are on the fiscal note, as are the public defenders and the health department. And I just sent a note to the chair. Now the BCA is not on there for lab testing, so we may want to add them to the fiscal note.
Okay, Representative Guthrie, question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is to the county attorney. And I guess one of my concerns is, if we don't have a testing mechanism, how do we proceed with prosecution?
Mr. Chair, Representatives James Backstrom, Dakota County Attorney, I am pleased to be here to support the outline of this dangerous substance. As we've heard in testimony previous to this, this is a very dangerous chemical. It causes significant adverse reactions in individuals. The bottom line is the people who are buying this have no idea how strong it is. There are no controls whatsoever because over how this substance is put together and so forth. So my point by saying that is that this does need to become a crime. The possession or sale of this substance. In answer to your specific question, how do we prosecute any crime? Yes, we are going to have to prove that crime in a court of law. That's going to require us to have that someone analyze the substance that's obtained by our law enforcement partners to determine that it is in fact illegal, and it does comprise one of the chemicals compounds that are listed in this bill. So yeah, it will definitely have to be tested for us to successfully prosecute these offenses. I wanted to mention, if I could, Mr. Chair, briefly that there was a specific incident in Hastings this past summer that first brought this issue directly to my attention, because we also had a very scary situation with a 14-year-old young man who overdosed on the synthetic marijuana, came very close to dying, quite frankly. And if it wasn't for immediate medical interventions, he could well have lapsed into a coma and not have been with us. Fortunately, he still is here. But this can happen to anybody in any community, and it's happening all over this nation right now as we speak. So, and if I could answer one other earlier question about, just offer my own thoughts also on the penalty for this particular crime, and I did talk to Representative Creasel about this. My own personal view is that this substance should be classified and treated the same way as organic marijuana under our laws. I think it's actually, quite frankly, even more dangerous than organic marijuana, and organic marijuana is an extremely dangerous substance and causes a lot of potential damage in our society. My view is that we should classify it the same way, which means that the sale of the substance would be a felony, and possession of small amounts of it would be a petty misdemeanor, just like small amounts of marijuana is a petty misdemeanor, and possession of higher amounts would increase the penalty. But that's my own personal opinion. I haven't. My association has, I'm sure, will support outlawing this, but we haven't taken a formal position on it because we're meeting tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Mueller has a question, but I'm just going to say, isn't it true that there are a number of drugs on the street that the initial officer in testing might not recognize the symptoms of, and that's why you have a DRE or a drug recognition expert to call in for further testing? And
yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Mueller, on that as well, we encounter many substances, and this included, whether it's illegal or not, it's still going to get sent to the BCA because we have to prove otherwise that it is or isn't an illegal substance. So they're currently testing for it now. Many times we sent our officers on the street find it, and it gets sent up to be analyzed to prove that it is or isn't something, depending upon what we can charge for a crime. So, I mean, in the budget-wise part of that, it's already going to the BCA or whichever lab the agency uses to be tested. I don't know that would increase or decrease depending upon whether it's illegal or not, but it's a significant number as it stands.
Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And whoever can answer this, is this, I know in North Minneapolis, most of the gang violence is tied around the marijuana traffic. Are gangs into this synthetic marijuana or anything like that, or
And what's your last name again?
Dan Schoen.
Okay, Officer Schoen.
S-C-H-O-N.
Officer Schoen, go ahead.
I would certainly acquiesce to the lieutenant on that because that's his area, but I can say this from our experience is that this is a business-based thing. I mean, these are business owners, and I you know, in our city, we certainly want our businesses to thrive. They help pay our bills, right, and my salary. However, these particular business owners, and it was highlighted when we did a show with ABC News for Diane Sawyer, when their senior justice correspondent went down to our local store and wanted to interview him about Spice, the K2, and ended up calling us to please ask them to be escorted out of the store because he didn't want to talk about it. It is not, in our area, a gang-related thing or anything that people are getting shot over. It's simply about I'd call them unfriendly business neighbors who don't care that they're selling poison. And when you walk into the store, the first thing on the right that you see is the sticks of incense, the packaging of incense, and anybody can walk over and grab without a problem. You walk to the back of the store, and in the big case is the individual packages that are labeled like Pina Chronic, Happy Shaman Herbs. You know, they've got marijuana leaves, but they're locked up. And also in that same area is all the marijuana smoking devices, such as a gas mask fashioned into a smoking device. Now, obviously, you would think that by the time you can't hold on to a pipe anymore and you need to strap it to your face, you probably shouldn't be smoking. But people, they sell this stuff. And that's, you know, that's problematic for us as well. And that's certainly why we support this legislation, is when a mother comes from the emergency room directly to our office saying, do you know about this and what are you going to do about it? This is the only thing we can do about it.
Mr. Chair, we can have Lieutenant Vitek address it as far as Hennepin County goes, if you'd like.
If you think it's necessary, go ahead. And then, in the meantime, Representative McDonald had a question.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Schoen. Oh, Mr. Chairman, thank you. In comparison to incense, what is the price point?
When I went into the store when I was still working narcotics and took some surreptitious photos, Mr. Chair, Representative, I didn't see the price on the incense, but I can guess that if you wanted to buy the individual sticks of incense, you're looking into $5, for a handful of sticks, maybe.
Yep.
This herbal stuff was it $30 or $40 for 3 grams? And it's sold in a completely different form too. It's a powder substance in a foil package versus, hey, look, here's the vanilla sticks, or if that makes sense. Does that answer your question?
Mr. Chair?
Representative McDonald?
Mr. Schoen, it must smell really good.
I will tell you that when this first came to my attention and I was dealing with parties that, when I was working narcotics, that we would arrest or deal with, especially if they were into marijuana, I'd ask them, have you smoked synthetic marijuana? And about 70% of them said yes, and about 80% of that 70% said, and I'll never do it again. I mean, these people are crazy if they're smoking this stuff. And these are folks that, wave the hemp flag. They're pretty into their marijuana, but this stuff scares them.
Okay. Representative Creasel, your next testifier.
Mr. Chair, he said that Officer Schoen already covered it. So.
Okay. Do you have anybody else today?
I think we're all set.
Okay. Any questions from the members? Oh, you had another officer?
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, here we go. Good morning, sir. If you could state your name and title and go ahead with your presentation.
I'm Officer Mike Elias in Apple Valley Police Department. I'm here representing not only the city of Apple Valley, but also I'm the president of the Minnesota Juvenile Officers Association, representing the Minnesota Juvenile Officers Association also.
Sir, before you start, Representative Muller, do you have a question for the last testifier?
No, Mr. Chair. Afterwards, Lieutenant Vitek was going to answer that other question, I believe.
You want him to
Mr.
come
Chair,
up?
Mr. Chair, Representative Muller, I think he said that Officer Schoen had covered his question, or your question.
Okay, Officer, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and representatives, this issue came in light to the Minnesota Juvenile Officers Association back in May of last year. We received information through our website from members that were dealing with this chemical. These are the officers that are working in the schools in the state of Minnesota. I immediately sent out a letter to all our representatives that are working in the schools and asked who's dealing with this. Within a week, I had 50-some replies back from our members working in schools from around the state of Minnesota stating they were dealing with this chemical already. There wasn't a lot of knowledge at that time, and I continued to receive information from different agencies. Rosemont High School, a cohort of mine, Officer Rosa, had a student that had to be transported to the hospital that had smoked K2 while in school that day. The student went into convulsions, had a rapid heart rate, and the school nurse decided to call the paramedics and have the student transported to the hospital. In the non-law enforcement area, but in the security world, somebody got hold of my email that went out to all the members of the Juvenile Officers Association, and Valley Fair Security sent me an email stating that they had 3 students from St. Cloud down during their school days in the spring that were high on K2 and that they'd recovered some packets of K2 from these students. It went on that from areas from Oakdale, Andover, St. Cloud, Bloomington, Lakeville, Burnsville, all dealing with K2. So it's around the state of Minnesota. It's not just locally to the metro area. One of the areas that some people touched on were some of the sales of the item. When I started doing research and looked online at the different sites online selling K2 or spice, I found gumballs that were for sale, that were K2 gumballs. Right alongside of it on the site, though, it says not for human consumption. I'm still trying to figure out who chooses a gumball that's not for human consumption. So keeping this brief, we're dealing with it in the schools more and more. In the city of Apple Valley, I have gas stations that sell it. We have our tobacco stores. We're all selling them. It's all kept under lock and key, but it's right there in those stores for sale. So it's not just the head shops and the tobacco stores. Gas stations are selling it also. We have an Oasis Market on one of our main streets in Apple Valley that is doing a very good business with selling K2. So I appreciate this time, and just to let you know that the Minnesota Juvenile Officers Association supports the bill. Thank you.
Thank you much, Officer. Any questions, members?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It just occurred to me, given who's selling this, you know, gas stations, tobacco stores, etc., this implies a distributor, or are there multiple distributors of this substance, or is there a single one? Do you know?
Online, there's multiple websites that are selling it. I'm not sure if they all tie into one person, you know, but online, they're different websites, so I'm assuming they're different businesses selling it.
Yeah. Are there any other questions? Representative Kriesel, do you have anybody else to testify today?
No, Mr. Chair.
Do you have any closing remarks?
No, Mr. Chair, I think they covered it.
Okay, Representative Kriesel, would you like to renew your motion for House File 57?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to renew the motion to have House File 57 pass and be re-referred to the Judiciary and Finance Policy Committee, if you got that, sorry.
Okay, seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Bill passed.
Thank you, committee members.
Thank you much. Good luck on your path.
All
right, members.
Three bills down through committees.
If we could keep it quiet out in the crowd here while we adjourn here.
Then the last two.
Well, you know what?
Please kind of keep it down in the crowd. We're still doing business here. Committee, our next meeting is going to be Tuesday, January 25th, 10:15. We don't have an agenda yet. We'll see what comes in for bills today. There's a possibility we might have a day off from committee if we've done our overviews and not a lot of bills coming in. And we'll take a look at it and notify you by email. So thank you much. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.